The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Greg.
Hi, my name is Greg. I'm an alcoholic. I got sober on June 11th, 2012. I'm a member of the Atlantic Group, and I work the steps. I have a sponsor as well. And thanks to my sponsor for talking to me before this meeting and calming me down a little bit. Also, before I forget, thanks to my parents for surprising me tonight and showing up tonight. Not sure where you are. I was just talking to my mom earlier today. Actually, I'll have 3 years on Thursday, and I was just back and forth with her. And, you know, she was just, you know, this program is such a blessing. I feel so lucky today to have it. You know, she was saying it's amazing. You know, and in one sense, I said it's flown by because my life's gotten so full and so exciting. And, you know, but on the other hand, I feel like I wasn't really living before, you know, so I feel like I didn't really start to live until I came in here. I was just barely getting by, and I was just going basically from one drink to the next and just trying to keep that cycle going. You know, and before I forget too, I just want to thank everybody in this room. You know, I feel so lucky that I found this room. A few years ago, people brought me here, and I remember, you know, I didn't stay right away, but I remember the impact it had on me to see all these people and, you know, just see the joy and, you know, see this, like, it was just like a shining light to me at the time when my life was very dark at the time. You know, I drank pretty much alcoholically from the start. I started drinking regularly in high school. I was a pretty happy-going, fun-loving kid before that. And, pretty much right away, I started just getting in trouble right away. I started skipping school. I started getting minor brushes with the police. You know, and I started lying about everything, who I was with, where I was going. And, you know, I just remember like the pain, you know, that I caused people around me, you know, people that cared about me, you know, like what happened, you know, what happened to our son, what happened to my brother, what happened to our friend, you know, because pretty quickly I, you know, that kid was gone, you know, and I was exposed to the program pretty early. I got arrested in high school, and I had like a little intervention with my coaches and my parents and some other people that were close to me, and they suggested I go to treatment in high school, you know, and so, you know, I'm really grateful for that experience today because it planted the seed, and I didn't get sober for another 12 years, but, you know, I think I always kind of knew there was a place for me. You know, when things got bad over those years, I would sort of come in and, I'd start to feel a little better. I'd take everybody's inventory. It's like a term I didn't realize until after, but, you know, I kept pushing people away and, you know, I thought that I was different. I thought nobody understood me, but I had you all figured out. I was actually in a meeting last night, and a guy shared about, you know, letting people in. He lost a loved one. The day he came into the program, he lost a loved one, and he shared about it, and everybody surrounded him, and it was a beautiful story. And it was really touching to me because that was, like, my experience with this fellowship was once I let people in, you know, everybody, picked me up and, you know, carried me. You know, but anyway, I think my story is pretty, you know, pretty standard. It was all like ego. It was all about outer facade. As long as I kind of looked a certain way, or if I had a certain job or a certain girlfriend, or I, you know, when I was younger, played sports, and it was all about, you know, the outer facade. But, you know, I was dying on the inside, and, you know, I mean, physically it was taking such a toll. I couldn't eat anything. You know, and I was just that constant feeling of like I was just a step behind. I was always showing up late for work or for my family or for my friends. You know, it just got, it was just you know, it was exhausting to live that life. You know, but I came to the city and I, you know, I started working in as a broker, and I thought that, you know, it was kind of like they told me to go out a lot. Thank you. And it was sort of it was like my eye had arrived kind of thing. And, you know, I thought that I could kind of, nobody could tell me how to live my life. And, you know, I was actually, the funny thing with everything was I lost jobs, I got jobs, I lost relationships, I screwed things up, I got arrested. But, you know, whether it was up, down, whatever it was, my solution was always a drink. It was always, if I got a new job or I got a promotion, it was like, can't wait to get out and get a drink. If I lost a job, oh, I got to go get to the bar, get a drink. It was always the same thing. You know, it didn't matter. And if it was, if I got out of a relationship, ooh, I'm free, I can get a drink. You know, I can go drink the way I want to. I mean, it was the same for everything. It didn't matter what the outer circumstances was. The only thing I cared about was a drink. You know, but I finally just got to a point where, you know, for me, I surrendered. And you know, I remember my first day. I came into this program. I found Jay, who's my sponsor today. And, you know, I was a mess. I had run out of ideas, basically. I tried every known possible way of making it work. I was always trying to make it work. And I just ran out because it always ended up the same way. It always ended up with me, you know, unemployed, getting arrested, you know, and just that feeling of like being so hopeless. And, you know, I finally surrendered. And to me, surrendering was I'm going to do this thing exactly the way people tell me to do it. And if it doesn't work for me, it doesn't work. But I'm going to give it a shot. And, you know, I did that. I followed suggestions, and certainly not perfectly. But I tried to just stop trying to do it my way. I tried to just follow the suggestions of my sponsor. And I threw myself into the fellowship. And I mean, if this room is a really amazing place. You know, I have some of the most amazing friendships today with the people in this room. And I immersed myself in that, you know, and I went through the steps pretty quickly. Doing a fourth step was like life changing for me. I got to get all that stuff out that I was carrying around, all the shame, all the fear, you know, and all the anger and all that stuff I was carrying around. I thought I kind of thought people were out to get me or whatever. You know, it was all me. It was all in my head. And, you know, I've had a spiritual experience in this program. You know, I've changed. You know, the person who I am today is not who I was 3 years ago when I came in. You know, I show up for people today. You know, I'm a reliable person, and that is the last thing you could ever say to describe me before. I was a no-show for everybody. You know, it's given me a life that I never imagined. I mean, and the funny thing is, it's the things that I didn't even think I wanted, or the things I didn't think were going to be amazing that are the best things. You know, like I said, my parents are here. I have this amazing relationship with them today, and it was so strained before. It was the elephant in the room. You know, with my family and my friends, and it was just this like thing that was stalking me everywhere. You know, I made amends to people that I had lied to, I had stolen from, I had cheated on girlfriends. You know, that's a complicated amends. You talk about that with your sponsor. But anyway, you know, that was, you know, my experience was like going to the people that I was really afraid to go to were some of the amends that really, you know, freed me the most. Because, you know, the way... you know, for me, I was like carrying around these little shadows of like the person I used to be, and I was constantly thinking, well, if I run into this person, I'm going to have to avoid them, or I'm going to have to lie about something, you know. And it was just like I had to be free of all that stuff. I still have some amends to do, you know, another part of this program that's been amazing to me is. You know, 10, 11, and 12, the steps away, you know, for me are those are the steps I work every day. You know, I take inventory every day. I pray and I meditate every day. I was certainly praying before I came up here. the real meat of this program is passing the message along. I was able to go to my a guy that I work with, my sponsee's wedding a couple weeks ago. You know, it was an amazing gift to this program, and the gifts just keep on coming. The gifts just keep on coming as long as I stay and I do my best to do the work. Thanks.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Meher.
Hi, I'm Meher, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 27, 2014. I have a sponsor. Her name is Devra. I'm working step nine, living in 10, 11, and 12. And I'm very honored to be speaking to my home group tonight. Thank you, Marla, wherever you are, for asking me to speak. When I told my sponsor I was speaking, she said something very comforting and beautiful to me. She said that Marla didn't ask you to speak. God asked you to speak. So if I can stop being nervous right now and clear myself, maybe God can speak through me. Before I tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, just want to say at the outset that, you know, I drank for 21 years, and it's only in the last three that I really tried to get sober. You know, alcohol, without a doubt, it's a fatal disease. And I know, you know, I've gone through many, many bottoms, and I know without a doubt that if I pick up, there's another bottom waiting for me. So I flung myself. I surrendered to this program, you know, 100,000%. So what it was like, so I grew up a very insecure, awkward child. My dad moved around a lot for his job. Every 2 to 3 years, we were in a new country, and I never fit in. I was extremely awkward. Now that I know that I'm an alcoholic, it's kind of nice to know that that's why it was. I got to college, and you know, that's really when I started drinking and I discovered alcohol, and suddenly I fit in with everybody. But everybody drank, you know, kind of, I don't know how they drank, but I knew how I drank. I drank to obliterate myself. I drank, you know, to oblivion. I never wanted to be here and now. You know, I always wanted to depart from reality. And essentially, I always drank away from pain and towards pleasure. And so I graduated college. Don't ask me how I got a degree. But I came to New York City, actually. And so, you know, life was just for me drinking. And, you know, life just happened in between parties and clubs and men. You know, and at the time, it was just, it worked for me then. You know, I was queen of the night. And then I got fired. I got fired from my job, you know, and that was supposed to be a wake-up call, but I was like, New York's terrible for me. I'm going to move to Connecticut. Connecticut will settle me down. And I get there, right? And all that happens is my drinking is lonely now. I'm drinking by myself. You know, I'm drinking, you know, I'm just drinking all the time. I'm an everyday drinker. I remember going to work and buying bottles of liquor at lunchtime and going to the train station and drinking there and going back to work drunk. I mean, I have no idea what the people I worked with were thinking. But it got pretty ugly. It got, you know, I started hanging out with people I wouldn't have ordinarily. You know, they were from what I would ordinarily have thought, you know, the underbelly of life. And, you know, but I lived there with them, and, you know, I adopted their ways of life. And, you know, I was sickened by myself, but I just couldn't stop. And, you know, I started to visit hospitals even whilst I was still here. And what I did was I pulled, you know, a major geographic. I fled to India. You know, I was like, it's the U.S., it's this lifestyle, you know, it's this country, you know, I'm going to go to India. And I went to India, and what happened was, instead of being an everyday drinker, I became a binge drinker. You know how they say I was a blackout drinker, a binge drinker? I was all of them. All kinds of drinking happened in my life. So I get to India, and I become, you know, a binge drinker. So, you know, at this point, my family knows I shouldn't be, everybody knows I shouldn't be drinking. So I sort of white knuckle it for 8 or 9 months, and then, you know, I binge, and the binges are really ugly. There's like vomit, and, you know, I'm just in my room drinking. It's like just by myself, holed up. And I start to make visits to psych wards and hospitals. I woke up once and my dad was on my bedside in the hospital and he was crying. And apparently, you know, I had ingested all kinds of things, you know, obviously in an effort to try to off myself. And he couldn't take it, you know. I was like, this is his daughter. And my mom told me, she was like, you know, I was being wheeled around in the hospital and there was drool coming out of my mouth. She's like, is this my daughter? So I hurt people, you know. I mean, my life was affecting them. And then I think this is where God intervened. You know, this is what really happened. You know, in literally in the space of 24 hours, I got the opportunity to move here, to move back to the U.S. And so, you know, this time it wasn't fleeing so much as sort of, I knew it was some sort of call, like you have to go back. And I did. I came back, and this was now 18 years, thank you, 18 years into my drinking. So it's been going on for 18. You get so tired, and, you know, you're just so sick and tired of being sick and tired, I guess. Now I get why they say that. You know, and I came back here. You know, I came back here and I committed to AA here. I joined a home group, Midtown, and, you know, I really started working the steps. I got a sponsor. You know, I really began to see this way of life. You know, I had tried AA in India and it didn't work for me because, oh, you know, I wasn't willing to get the message, but B, you know, they were all men, the meetings were the other side of town, they constantly took group conscience to extend the meeting, you know, it just didn't work for me. But here was different, you know, and this was it. Like, I thought this was going to be it, you know, this was my salvation. And I started working the steps, you know, I really got it. There was hope there. And 10 months, I picked up a drink. I didn't know how. I didn't know why. Well, looking back, I know why. I was in a relationship with a man I shouldn't have been, or potentially whatever it was, I didn't share it with my sponsor. And I relapsed. It was a horrific relapse. I was out for 2 months just drinking, not able to stop. It was like alcoholism had caught me again. And I was underwater and I was drowning, you know, I was just roaming around meetings. I was praying a lot, though. I needed a sponsor because my sponsor dumped me. You know, and it's for me, if I don't have like my center in this program, you know, it's really unsettling. So I was lost, and, you know, God gave me a sponsor. I met her at a meeting, another meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and she brought me here. And 2 years ago, I stood up near that pillar, I remember, and I had been, and I said I had a day, and I remember I was in ER the night before. You know, I spent the day and the night, and they had given me charcoal to kind of make me throw up, because I was ingesting things again, I guess. You know, they gave me charcoal to throw up, and I was throwing up, and I even threw up on the cab ride over here. You know, that's what I was. It took everything in me that day not to pick up a drink. And I know now that that was a divine power, something beyond myself. And my sponsor, this sponsor, she really took me through the steps in a way that I'd never gone through before. I think I really conceded to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic and I could not drink. And worked the steps so thoroughly, you know, so thoroughly. This group, my sponsor, is so rooted in the book, you know. And 9 months into it, I picked up again, you know. And I thought I was hopeless. I thought I was never going to get it, ever. And my sponsor, she turned to me and she was like, Meher, you have to dig deeper. You're not being honest. You have to dig deeper. And I prayed for the willingness to, or just the ability to be honest. And when I got to my fourth step, suddenly it was like a veil, and all this filth and grime and deep, dark secrets, you know, came out. And, you know, that gave me that strong foundation, you know, and I was free. You know, when I shared it with my sponsor, I was free, you know. I shared it with her. She didn't, you know, she didn't run away screaming, you know, she didn't. We laughed at it together. And then based on that, I was able to move forward. You know, I had 6 and 7, you know, I was able to take contrary actions. For me, taking a contrary action every time, you know, something crops up, for me, that's a spiritual experience. Every time I do that, it's like hammering a nail into the coffin of one of my deepest fears, which is a fear I cannot change. Each little thing, it was like, oh, I can change. And I got to 7 and 8, And, you know, and those were difficult. And today, you know, what I have from this program, what I've learned is that, you know, I get to show up for life. And that's a huge gift. And my life is big and beautiful. You know, my default isn't irritable, restless, irritable, and discontent. It is happy and grateful. And if I could say, you know, if there were three things or whatever is keeping me sober today, one is honesty for me. Like, I have to stay honest because they say a lie gets lonely. You know, and then the other thing I did differently this time is I just flung myself into the middle of AA. I mean, my best friends are in this room now, you know, service, fellowship, you know, just these women, they carry me today. And I'm so grateful for that. And then, of course, above all is my faith in my higher power. You know, I never feel alone. I turn my will over to him. And I really, really do. And he takes care of me. And, you know, as they say, this saying that, you know, he puts challenges in front of me, and he always gives me the strength and the dignity and the grace to walk through them. And they always say, they have a saying, or I have a saying, that God will let the water rise to your nose, but he'll never let it go over your head. Thank you all for my sobriety.